Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neat the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, well, first of all, I want to wish everybody a happy Passover, happy Easter, and let you know how much I do appreciate your participation and your availability to come and listen to the show. It is wonderful, and I really appreciate it, and I hope that we continue to bring you the best news in the financial industry. I think this, in my opinion, this is the best show because it does give you more than one view, and it isn't always that ridiculous buy crap that you hear from everybody. This is what it is, and between all of our guests that we have on, you know, everybody tells it like it is. And so I'm happy. And, you know, because we've been growing so rapidly and getting picked up by more and more stations, and the audience continues to grow. For those of you new, for my new outlets, please email. You can always email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org if you want to check some things out. But so here we are. The markets look like they're in trouble. Now, again, how can a guy say that when we're only 3 or 4% from the all-time highs? How can I possibly say the market looks in trouble? I can say it easily. I just said it. But here's why. Okay, let's look at what's going on. The first thing is volume is drying up. Now, what does that mean? What does volume drying up mean to a person? Well, what it means is that the buyers are either stepping away or they don't have as much money to invest. A number of reasons of why. But, you know, we've heard this story, and this is one of the things that always pisses me off. Well, there's money waiting to come in. There's money on the sidelines. Let's address that myth first. There is always money on the sidelines, okay? Trust me when I tell you, when the time is right, when opportunities present themselves, there is always money to buy the stock market. So don't let anybody ever convince you differently that there's money on the sidelines to come in, because there is always money on the sidelines. There has never been a time in history where there is not money on the sidelines that can come into the market. There is trillions of dollars being waited to come in when that they feel the time is right. So now all of a sudden, the powers that be do not feel, or it looks like, they do not feel that the time is right. What does that mean? It just means that you're starting to see slowly here, it seems to me that the sellers are starting to amass troops along the border. What they're doing is they're not getting bearish here. They're not selling aggressively as far as shorting. But it seems to me they are selling relatively aggressively as compared to taking profit and getting out. We're seeing a tremendous rotation out of the equity markets and into the bond markets. Now, why are people chasing 1.5? Well, actually, it's 1.86 in the 10-year. Why are they chasing that yield? Because at the end, you want to get 1.86. You want to get waxed when the market does correct. Now, again, I'm not telling you it's going to correct tomorrow. I don't want everybody to ever think that I'm predicting the exact time. You know, at 9:22 on April 10th, a.m. in the morning, the markets are correct. Well, no, I can't do that. But I can certainly tell you that the appearances that we're seeing now in the market indicate that the market is getting ready to make a move. Now, it does not mean it will not stop here, and then all of a sudden the new money or the money on the sidelines will say, you know, hey, maybe we should get back in. What I am saying to you is that, hey, I think it's a great time to be careful. I think if you've been in, you've made a lot of money. Don't make the same mistake you made last time. Now, what I like to do and what I want to share with everybody is I like you to hedge. Okay. Now, I can teach you a great hedge on how that you never have to ever sell your stocks ever again. Now, isn't that be a rare treat where you could go in and be in the market and never have to sell your stock market, your stock portfolio again? And you never have to worry about it, because things that I can share with you and teach you are how to hedge your portfolio. I can keep you locked in to where you're at, basically, without ever taking any risk and never worrying what the... And actually, sometimes hoping that the market collapses. Wouldn't that be nice? Now, I did do a video, a webinar about, I think it was in October, whenever, it doesn't matter. It's always good because it was basic. But for those who are interested and who might want to learn about the hedging philosophy, you can email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and I will send you that introductory webinar that goes into specifics and how to do it. And of course, we do it. And I would love to get you on. We're gonna put together a class. There'll be a fee, but we're gonna put together a class that will teach that and actually go through it step by step on how you, the investor, can protect your portfolio. But so we look at that part of the market. Not good. We look at the Fed. Now, you know, I'm an anti-Fed guy, but, you know, I'm an anti-Fed guy because I think they went too far. Not because I don't think that they're smart people, but I think they went way too far with the market. So if we look at that, that should be a warning sign. You look around at the global economies, okay? There's a lot of problem out there. Now, yes, equity markets go up. Again, we call it the chase for yield. We call it the whatever you want to call it. Right now, that was where the money was going. Now, it doesn't seem to be going in there so quickly. Now, it seems more like it's kind of coming out. But there's always, you know, like in boxing, you see a little jab, a little prompt before they really get into the heavy action. So that is something that you look at, okay? Then you start to look at some of the other products around the world, okay? Some of the things that nobody thinks about. You know, what's going on in the real estate market? Well, the real estate market, you know, they can tell me all day long how great it is. Don't look so good, okay? I don't see a great market. And you're starting to see a tremendous amount of fear and everything. And, you know, again, markets don't announce themselves. You know, carbon monoxide is a silent killer. Well, in markets, the silent killer is when volume dries up, when you can never get any volatility in a market, when you can see certain things happening that people are trying to pump up certain sectors. Okay. And, you know, look, we've all been a victim at some point or another in our careers of this ridiculous type of valuations. That's what's going on there. And everybody's got a way of justifying why the valuation should be where they are. And I can tell you that the S&P and everything else is at a valuation, although historically by the numbers, not high. When you take into account the other factors that could be included, they are way overvalued, okay? You know, again, we have not been in a situation where we had zero interest rates. We have not been in a situation where corporations have access to as much money as they need. So they don't have to make money anymore. They just have to be able to have the access so they can buy back their stocks, so they can do these types of things, because it changes the dynamics of how the market works, okay? Markets themselves, they work the same all the time. It's a footprint that they leave, and you have to be the person that understands how to read the map. But at this point in time, I'm certainly, if you never have done anything, you better be hedged on your portfolio, because I'm telling you that it's coming. Now, again, I'm not crying chicken little, the sky is falling. I'm just telling you, okay, that things do not look as they appear. Or if you remember Karate Kid, you know, Mr. Miyagi, things are not always as they appear. Things are not as they appear. Things are pretty weak and not real. I'm not very enthusiastic about the economy in general. And eventually, prosperity is brought by when everything is working well. Prosperity is not when just strictly the wealth gets the wealth and the poor get screwed, okay? Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out The Bubba Show and sign up for our free membership so you can get all my content. We've got a bunch of things going on, and we're really starting to accelerate our growth. We're so happy to have our new affiliates, I can't tell you, including Market Rally Radio. It's really great. And anyways, we'll be back after the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
Love runs high in this time. give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and so many other things, and so popular and getting so big. I hope you'll still make time for the Bubba Show every week. But Jane King, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Todd. Good morning to you. And I'm sitting here in Times Square. It's going to be a beautiful day in New York today. And I'm watching them set up for some kind of concert here. So I don't know who's going to be here, but it looks like to be interesting. The crew's all here setting up, so should be fun later.
So, Jane, you emailed me last week and you said, you know, I could tell you about creative pop culture. Tell me about creative pop culture.
Well, we were talking about how Republicans and conservatives miss the pop culture. They don't see it as a priority, and sometimes they don't connect with voters because of that. And, you know, what can we do? Well, I mean, you know, I think they're going to have to start paying more attention to that. They've just been surpassed by Democrats through technology, social media, just being able to talk about certain things. I mean, you know, while I see these, you know, I respect what they've done, and I don't think it's a good reason to vote for somebody, there still is a huge amount of Americans who want a president who can talk about what's going on in the world that's not necessarily politics and policy. They want to know that somebody knows who the popular musicians are, what the popular TV shows are, can talk in current lingo, and be comfortable with all that. And so I think, you know, that's one thing, especially with the younger generation. I mean, I think it's more important to them, rightly or wrongly, I think it's true, more important for them than it is for previous generations. You know, the younger generation hasn't gone through as many tough times as previous generations have. And even though they did have a tough time 2008, 2009, for sure. But, you know, I think that's what they want from their leaders. They want somebody who can do a lot of different things, and pop culture is one of them. So I think it's one area that Republicans certainly need to work on.
Well, don't you think? I mean, you know, you mentioned it, so let's talk about that for a minute. The whole political system, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you like Obama, you don't like him. I mean, you know, everybody knows my views, so I don't have to restate them here, but don't you think everybody wants the whole all these guys to be a little bit more hip? I mean, I don't know if that's the right word. I mean, I guess I'm dating myself, but the whole Congress, the whole Senate, the entire political system is like a bunch of rigid old dudes that, you know, have no clue about what life is about. Would you agree with that?
Well, people want politicians, and especially a president, who doesn't necessarily, I think the thinking is that there's so much support around the president that it's almost like a figurehead. And they want somebody more they can relate to, and they figure all the details and all the economic policy and all the trade issues and, you know, Iran nuclear deal, you got people who can handle that. You want your president to be somebody that you connect with and that you're proud of on a global stage. And I think, you know, like how many, like every year, every 4 years, we have a presidential contest, we see the survey, who would you rather have a beer with? And almost always, the person who wins that is the person who wins the presidency. I've had friends in the media, educated and knowledgeable about issues, who say, well, I voted for Bill Clinton because I saw him play the saxophone on Arsenio Hall. Or I didn't vote for John McCain because he seems like a crotchety old man, you know, no matter how much of a hero he is. But that was the impression among younger people. And so I think that that's something that Republicans got to get on board with, or, you know, going to be tough a few decades ahead.
Oh, no, I know. You know, what we need is another Ronald Reagan. Now, he was old, yeah. but every related to him, Bonzo goes to college, right? I mean, he was an actor.
Oh, yeah, and he was funny. I think being funny is really a key thing. And, you know, even, you know, Obama's fun, he can be funny, and he's got a great smile and a great voice. And even if you don't disagree with him, you know, you can kind of sit and listen to him a little bit longer. So I think all those things, the presentation, is more important now than it ever has been. And Republicans don't seem to, even now, I watch some of the candidates or potential candidates. I guess we don't really have anybody besides Ted Cruz who's totally announced yet, but they still need some work in that area. They need a social, I don't know, chairman or somebody to kind of liven them up a little bit.
Or maybe get Jane King to go to the White House and handle this for everybody. I mean,
I'll whip up the president, you know, talk about everything. But one thing, like, somebody asked Mitt Romney about, and I don't even, Honey Boo Boo, and so, and you could tell he was just like, this is the dumbest question in the world, which of course it was, you know. But you could just tell that he couldn't even talk about it. And I was like, you know, rightly or wrongly, people are watching this show and they know who this person is, and you got to at least be able to say a couple sentences.
Well, you know, the problem is, and what I see is the real problem is that, you know, you had, I go back to Reagan, but, you know, you, the president should not be involved basically in the day-to-day operation like a CEO of a company. He should be the guy that's the face and the friendly guy out there that's keeping everybody happy, which is kind of what you're saying. And instead of worried about, and of course we don't have anybody like that as it is now. But I want to go into another. I want to switch topics on you because we know you're a farm girl at heart, even though you're a big city slicker now. But you know, we had the crop report, and I want to know, did you hear from your family? Did they have any comments? Did they say anything about it? I'm just curious.
Well, I don't think that it was really, the numbers were all that surprising. We expected it to be another record year for soybeans, corn acres down for a third straight year. The economics tell the story, and farmers, I mean, for decades and decades will follow the economics. You know, they can always adjust. I mean, this is just the planning intentions report. It's just March. They've barely even gotten in the field yet. So this can always change depending on weather and prices and what they get. But, you know, it looks like it's going to be, of course, we had the record crops last year. It's going to be another at least record year for soybeans as long as everything goes as planned.
And that's been my contention. But before I ask you that question, so I think we talked a few months ago in your family, they were storing a lot of stuff, right? Because they didn't want to obviously sell it at the prices they could get now, and they're waiting. Are they still storing?
Yeah. I mean, my dad had told me a long time ago that one of the best investments he ever made was store it on the farm. Because that way, you know, you're not forced to sell when you don't want to, when the prices are terrible, when everybody else is selling, and you're able to keep it. I mean, it's expensive to build all those grain bins, but it does pay off in the long run. So they're storing. I mean, at this point, you know, here we are in April, and you know, if we start to get a wet spring, I mean, you can see a bump up in prices pretty quickly.
Well, that's what I see. What I've said all along is that we have a market that has taken every shot that's bad. Okay, they've had great planting, they've had record crops here the last 2 years. We've had perfect weather, but you know what? What's funny? And a dollar that's been unbelievably strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's funny is,
I mean,
that
at the prices that they have right now, I mean, it's worth it just to store and wait. I mean, because a lot of negative news is already in the market. So the potential for an upside on a wet spring or some kind of surprise is there. And we could see, you know, 30, 40 cents a bushel rally, and that makes a difference.
Listen, they're buying and holding like you're buying a stock and holding. You know, they know.
Exactly.
They're smart. Yeah. I mean, I know your family is extremely smart because they've done extremely well, because they don't overlive and they don't, you know, get crazy when things are good, because they've been around long enough to know that, you know what, it doesn't always last. And speaking of not always lasting, you know, we look at the economy, and you and I both agree that there's some issues out in the economy, but it seems to me now that the stock market itself might be starting getting ready to say, you know what, maybe we are getting a little bit frothy up here. Maybe things aren't quite as good as we want them to be anymore. Are you seeing any of that?
Well, of course, we've had a very volatile week this week. A terrible start to the second quarter. A lot of nervousness about earnings that are going to be coming out really starting in full force next week. And we're at record highs. So the jobs reports have been a little weaker lately. ADP this week was weaker than expected. Of course, we'll find out on Good Friday what the Labor Department says for the month of March for jobs. But some of the manufacturing numbers have just been, you know, the economic numbers haven't been great. And when you're sitting at record highs, it starts to get a little bit scary. Speaking of frothy, I was just doing a story about a San Diego biotech company called Atire. They deal in rare diseases, treatments for those, and just got another $76 million investment. This is on top of like 40 or 50 a year ago. So there's a lot of money going into biotech right now, and that seems, like small biotech companies, that seems like an area that's pretty risky right now.
Are the biotechs the NASDAQ stock? Are the biotechs the internet stocks of the 90s now? Because they're getting awfully frothy.
Well, they really are, but I don't hear the general public talking about them yet. And typically that's what we see before we see a total crash. So it might be a little bit while we go.
And any big plans for the Easter weekend?
Well, I'm going to sleep on Good Friday, which is wonderful because, you know, I get up so early during the week. And on Sunday, church and brunch. So just going to be like a laid-back weekend.
And you deserve it because, Jane King, you are the hardest-working person in show business. You do. I can't imagine your schedule. I love it, but I love the Ka-Ching Report. Is that coming out early this week?
No, I'll be putting it out tomorrow. So I still got to compile it all together today. So it'll be out on Friday like normal. Special Good Friday edition.
Jane King, you are awesome as always. I love having you on. You bring a great point of view to the show. And have a happy Easter and enjoy having some time with your family without having to get up in the middle of the night. It's great to have you on.
Thanks, Todd. You too.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horace. And that's been our friend, Jane King, taking care of us as she always does and bringing some new light to The Bubba Show as we have some pop culture education here. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I got my man, the myth, the legend, Mike McClone, ETFSecurities.com. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Todd. How are you? The focus, I think I've been focusing, I guess, for this week has been, you know, it's end of the quarter, beginning of the quarter, so I'm starting to look at earnings.
Yeah, who cares about earnings? They've already, you know, you brought that up. So, of course, we know you've got that new earnings ETF. Now, this is the first quarter that it'll be in for quarterly reporting, right?
That's correct. But I think the way you put it is quite clear. Who cares about earnings? And that's why we're looking at a report for next week. We're going to say, why so serious about the earnings? The only reason we should be serious is because the trend in earnings has been declining for 2 years, yet the market keeps rocketing higher, which is very disconcerting.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous, but I mean, they set the bar so low. I mean, you know, remember the movie White Man Can't Jump? I mean, you could walk over the bar now. I mean, it's, you know, you could roll over. The bar is so low now, and why people believe in this? And of course, it's not really. We both know it's not that they believe in the earnings and everything else. They believe in that there's no place else to go, and that's been the common theme, you know, overall, because we are very short-sighted. I think that we look at only the equity markets as a place to invest money. And that's a problem, I think, overall. I mean, there are so many other great investment areas out there, including, obviously, the ETF security products. I mean, you know, you guys have got some great products now. You know, I mentioned them a couple months ago, but I'm just curious. Does the Zacks ETF for earnings, has that made some anticipatory moves going into it? Has it done had any action going through getting ready for the earnings? Can you tell us about what's going on there?
Well, we're going through the first rebalance. And what the Zacks products do is, you know, we're the ETF provider, and they're based on all the methodology that the really smart people at Zacks focus on, and their focus is on the key thing that really drives stock prices is not just earnings, and it's not just estimates, it's that trend in earnings estimates. And by what I mean by that is analysts are always making estimates about where earnings should be, and that's one of the things I fear right now is those estimates keep declining, yet the market keeps going up. But what Zacks does is they focus on that trend. So when estimates are generally improving, they'll focus on only those stocks that have analysts improving their estimates for certain stocks, which generally, and those kind of stocks generally have much better performance also because they have the trend going for them. They're improving, they're making more money, they're doing better business, and that's kind of what we like about Zacks. So I think what's appropriate for investors to be considering is the beta type products like the SPs, SPY is one of the biggest ETFs out there. A lot of people have been getting out of those products. In fact, this quarter alone, there's been pretty substantial overall inflows in ETFs, but the largest outflows have been in beta type products that track the S&P 500s like SPY, like $33 billion have left. And I think a lot of that money is going to either safer places like bonds or European stocks because the European ECB is easing, or they're going to more like smart beta or alpha type products, products that are designed to perform better in the long term, like our new Zacks ETF.
Well, I will say this, you guys got the greatest products, and I'm really excited. I'm so happy to be with you guys because it's really an exciting product. But all right, I want you to put your professor cap on here for a minute, okay? Explain to everybody what is beta and what are some of the terms you just used so everybody's on the same page.
Yes, beta is essentially the market, and that's one thing that we always have to measure. There's only one way to really, you have to measure the market. Everything is traded relative to the market. So the best measure of beta really market is the S&P 500. It's essentially the market. The problem with that index is it's cap weighted, which means is the biggest stocks have the biggest weighting in the index. So IBM and GE will have the biggest amount of performance, and all the smaller mid-cap or smaller stocks won't really show up in the performance. So what's considered 500 stocks really only has effective performance, meaning what's really going to make that index move is really only from 100 stocks. So what all the products we focus on are indices that try to diversify around the entire stock market and give an equal weight, a more appropriate weight to other stocks. And by alpha, what alpha is alpha is just that cool term that people use for people that part of beating the market. And that's, let's say, the S&P 500 is up 10% in the year and your investments are up 15% in the year, then you can say, oh, I had an alpha of 5%. I beat the market by 5%.
And then, so, you know, we look at, and then when you see, so look at all this, so does it matter? I mean, like there is beta weighting on all stocks, and you know, when you're looking, or how are the ETFs that you guys, how is their beta weighting figured out?
Well, the first thing they do is they focus on not being market cap weighted. So the first thing to do to get away from, I guess you could call it smart beta 1.0. There's a lot of products out there. Then the first thing they do is say, okay, we're not going to just weight the biggest stocks with the biggest weight just because they're the biggest. We'll give them more of an equal weight. What our let's see, some of our products do, our smart beta products do, is effectively smart beta 2.0. Well, the first thing they do is, yes, they make sure they're not overweighted in the large cap stocks, but they also make sure they're not overweighted in sectors that are generally considered, or areas, factors that are generally considered not to give you good performance. For instance, you look at the S&P 500, it has a major overweight in growth stocks and large stocks. But historically, the best performance has been from smaller cap stocks and more value type stocks. So those of our products really focus on giving you the better exposure to the better stocks. And I think the key thing to remember for investors is if you look at an S&P 500, it's really designed to measure the market. And I think from a long-term investment standpoint, you want to look for products that are really designed to give you better performance in the market. And most of our products are designed to give you that better performance.
Now, you've got the Zacks has the big cap and the small cap. If you were an investor, would you be like equally invested in both?
Well, I have to admit I'm a bit biased to the small cap because partially with most of our other investments, 401ks and all that stuff, most of those things only give you access to most of the large caps. So to me, getting to the small cap Zacks type product is a great, I look at it as a good diversifier, and it kind of broadens out your portfolio. And that's the one thing you and I will always discuss the most, is make sure you're diversified. And certainly in an environment like this, when the equity market looks way overdone, and the key thing that I'm really afraid of is what you said earlier in our commentary, is that people are buying stocks. It's the only place to go. And you know that's the wrong reason. You shouldn't be investing in equities for the long term, and only invest, you know, get overweight when you think they're, you know, attractive, and get underweight when you think they're rich. And they certainly are looking, many indicators show that they're quite rich at the moment.
Well, I don't know, Mike. You know, I listen to all these geniuses that come on TV, and they say all the time, well, just keep buying, buy. And of course, you know, I've seen some very interesting things happening in the market that I don't like as a as an investor, as a trader, as knowing what I think I know. And of course, I may not know what I think I know, but, you know, I'm starting to see a lack of liquidity issue in the overall markets. And I'm starting to see some things that are pretty freaking scary when you think about it and you think what's going on. Are you seeing any of the same type of stuff?
It really reminds me of 2007. And I remember, as an analyst like myself, first of all, everybody has to remember who you get your advice from. I listened to a panel the other day night, and they both told me how the Fed's going to tighten and all this. And I thought, I bet both of those people were economists and never really held a position in their life. I mean, you got to really trade. You have to learn and take positions on and lose money before you really should give advice, I think, and know what it's like. And I think the biggest fear I have is the market, we all know, is overdone. All the professionals out there, most of them have to tell you to buy because they're sell-side analysts, which means they look for work for firms that make money if you buy stocks for them. But the key things looking forward are, not only have you had a massive run-up, but you look at the markets are telling, the outside markets, there's a big problem globally. Number one, let's look at the bond market. The Fed keeps talking about tightening, and today the 10-year note yield is 1.84%. If you ever want to look about inflation, there's only one place you should look for forward inflation, that's the yield on U.S. bonds, because inflation is the only thing that should really impact them, and 1.84% implies virtually no inflation, in fact, almost deflation. So what do we have to look forward to? We've had a massive run-up in stocks driven by QE, a Fed that's telling us that they're going to tighten despite the fact there's global deflation. It sounds to me that this is almost a lose-lose situation for the equity market. And then I always look at earnings, and the earnings have been declining. So there's a lot of warning signals out there, and they never work just right. And you have to really be told that you're dead wrong for a while before it works. But I remember this in 2007, people telling me I was an idiot. I'll never forget in 2000, a fellow salesperson told me I was an idiot when I recommended buying zero coupon bonds. And that's what you really have to hear, because you have to have people really disagree with you generally before it works out. And being negative on the market is against the consensus, which is a bit risky, but we have to be prudent, especially for our listeners. And prudence means saying thank you, goodbye, and you know, it's not, let's focus sometimes, like when Warren Buffett says, let's try to not lose money.
Well, I mean, you know, of course, we know that, you know, not liking the market, you're a communist when you do things like that. I mean, how could you not like the stock market? You know, it's anti-American not to like the stock market, but of course, we all know that it's investing. And why are we investing? We're investing to make money or to grow wealth. Whatever it is, whatever reason it is that you're in the market, you're doing it to make money, because in the big scheme of life, everything comes down to two things, one of them being money, because without it, you know what? It's kind of hard to eat when you don't have it, when you're not making any money. And that's one of the problems that I see. And I believe that we are way, way overdone. And of course, listen, I've been on this side for over a year now, of that, you know, there's issues. And of course, yes, the market has made new highs, but certainly if you were on that side of the market, you wouldn't have gotten hurt either, because there has been not much going on. And if you go back over the last 16 months, the 100 most widely held stocks, you wouldn't be making a lot of money. Now, there's some big winners in there, but there's more, believe it or not, there's more losers than winners. And it's 2-1 unchanged in losers to winners in the 100 most widely held stocks, which is why I love your products from ETFSecurities.com. My man, Mike McClellan, go check out the site. His picture's right on the front page. You get to see who you're talking to. It looks like he'd come out and beat you around a little bit, but he's a great guy, very smart, understands the market conditions. Ex-floor trader, has it all. Mike McClellan, ETF Securities. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be back after the break with more from Mike McClellan, ETFSecurities.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out TheBubbaShow.org. We'll be right back after the break.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my man, Mike McClone, ETFSecurities.com. Check him out. And again, I told you his picture's on the front. You get to see your man. He is extremely sharp and well-versed in these markets, and I'm always so fortunate to have him on every week. So, Mike, before we get into actually what's going on in the markets, you know, I'm a big anti-leverage product kind of guy. I think that I've said this before, so this isn't new, but I believe that they're stealing some money somehow. There's a way with that multiplier, the way they work, that they're able to scam out some cash by the way that they operate. And I'm not a big fan. And I know you've said in the past those are for traders only, but are they even good products for traders?
Well, they have to be very astute traders, and that's one reason that most of us don't trade anymore. I have to certainly speak for myself. You can't see me, but I don't have any hair left because I gave up on the trading thing. It's so difficult to be able to beat the market as a trader. That's why we really focus on more long-term buy-and-hold type products. But let me give you one product that I was involved with in the development when I was at S&P and gives you an example of, you know, anything that's leveraged or inverted. You have to be very careful that you have to make sure if you're going to do this, make sure you understand that product completely, meaning read that prospectus. And I'm not kidding. Sometimes it's amazing what you can learn by reading the prospectus. Like I've learned so much just by reading our prospectus on our Glitter product because it's some great information in there. Some of it I write. But we'll give you one product I helped develop at S&P. It was not so much help, but I was involved in a little bit. And that was, you look at the VIX, any type of long VIX product has been horrible for returns. Why? Because the VIX is volatility, and any type of long volatility is long calls, and it's time decay every day. So every day it loses a little money. But you look at the opposite of the VIX, S&P created this product called the VIX Inverse. And the only reason that product I viewed as very attractive when they did it is because you could buy it and hold it. You can't go below zero, which is usually the risk when you're short volatility. And I remember it went public, I think it was launched about 7. Currently, it's about 34. Now, this is like 5 years because every single day, this is the opposite of the VIX. Every single day that the market doesn't blow up, you get time decay. So that's an example of a buy and hold type product that's not so much leverage, but it's inverse, but it's one of the very few that investors have to just make sure, read that prospectus, know what you're doing. And by the way, if it's any type of leverage, your time frames usually should be very short. And by the way, if you're that good at being a short term, you know, good luck. Because, I mean, that's great, but most people aren't.
And that's true. All right, let's get down to real brass tacks here now. All right, now, I know that the dollar has been unbelievably strong, and you know obviously the same thing. And how is it possible that major corporations in today's world, with all the things you can leverage up or you can hedge with, how is the strong dollar affecting our companies that should be smarter than that throughout the globe? Why do we hear that ridiculous excuse, well, the dollar was too strong, so we couldn't do as well overseas?
Well, in this question that people always say, the professional, the so-called academics, say, oh, you should hedge. Well, hedging can be very expensive, and you can very much lose, and when the dollar goes the other way, you lose money. So hedging is, as you and I know, both being from the pits, number one, there's no example of a perfect hedge, and hedging can cost you money. It's very difficult to hedge well. So I think a lot of corporations hedge a little bit, and the best way to hedge is to diversify your production. For instance, why do a lot of foreign automotive manufacturers now have plants in the U.S. That's somewhat hedging their currency exposure. But the key thing I want to mention with the dollar has been a very high correlation, not correlation, but trending correlation between the value, the trend in the dollar and the P.E. ratio, the price earnings, I mean price over earnings. And what's happening lately with large cap stocks, since the dollar is increasing, the price of actual stocks, their earnings are declining because a lot of their earnings are in dollars. And that's one thing I find very disconcerting as we go into earnings seasons is, you know, almost 40% of revenue of the large cap S&P companies comes from overseas. We're seeing a complete slowdown in overseas markets. I mean, you can just hear it every day, what's happening in Europe and Japan and even China is starting to slow down. So there's really, even Canada, there's very little demand globally. And all these multinational companies have exposure, so their earnings are declining in an environment where the Fed's going to be tightening. So the rope in the strong dollar is part of that, you know, example. So I'll give you one example. Since the end of 2012, the U.S. dollar index has gone up about 23%, and the price-earnings ratio has gone up almost exactly the same amount, which means that earnings are declining from U.S. S&P 500 companies, and the price of stocks keeps going higher, which is very disconcerting. So I look at it as almost a lose-lose scenario. What's going to take for the dollar to go weaker? Well, weaker U.S. economic growth and and stronger economic growth overseas, which generally weaker U.S. economic growth is bad for stocks. And what's it going to take for the dollar to keep going higher with more of the same? And again, that's bad for prices over earnings. So I look at it as almost a lose-lose situation at this juncture for U.S. stocks, big stocks.
So explain to me, the lose-lose scenario.
Okay, so let's look at dollar going higher, continuing higher, which means more of the same, what's been happening. And that has been suppressing earnings for large cap stocks. Earnings have been declining, yet prices go up. So at some point, that's got to give. I mean, the price has to go down to meet earnings and have a normal scenario. If the dollar keeps going stronger, that's bad for earnings. But what's it going to take for the dollar to go down, which might help improve earnings? U.S. economic growth declining or being actually weak as it has been lately or continuing. Either way, both scenarios could be bad for stocks. I'm not saying they should be, but actually they should be. In addition, if you look at strengthening dollars, you know, if the U.S. economy continues to pick up, the Fed says they're going to tighten. That's bad for stocks. Because remember, what really drove a lot of this rally was Fed not only just easing, but printing money. Now they're taking that away. So that, to me, is a potential lose-lose. And then you look ahead. What do we see ahead of us? Look at resistance. Yes, the NASDAQ just printed around 5,000. We all know that was kind of the level back in 2000. We all wished we had sold everything we owned, and most of us didn't, including myself. So that's a good level of resistance. And we look below us. The NASDAQ was just at $4,000 a year ago. There's no reason it can't go back there. So I see it as almost a lose-lose for stocks, and I'd be delighted by the end of this year if we could see the equity market doing better, the Fed having tightened, and the U.S. economy doing better. But if that's the case, the dollar's stronger, and then earnings are not going to be any. You know, earnings are going to continue to get hammered. So I don't see the positive. I don't see how it's going to get better. And I think what scenario I do see is just something that's going to take a long term to get through, long-term correction, and maybe someday we'll grow fast enough to pay off our debt, and maybe someday the economy improves fast enough we can take people off food stamps with all those, you know, there's only 47 million people on food stamps, which is about 16% of the population. That is a bit, you know, you add all that in there, and I say, what's the upside? It's going to take a long time to get through it.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm a very anti-Fed guy. I think they've done a horrible job. That's just my opinion. And it's clear everywhere I go, I say the same thing, that they suck and they've done a garbage job. And there's no chance that they can raise rates this year, in my opinion, because with the falling of the rest of the rates around the world, that makes it a problem. So in my opinion, I say there might even be another quantitative easing program by us. What's your thought?
Well, I'm fearful of that. I think you're going to be right, but we all have to ask ourselves, what's going to take for another QE or quantitative easing program? We all know it's going to be one thing. That's a correction or a bear market in the stock market. I don't think they'll start it until the stock market tells them, and that's one thing that you said in an earlier program that really scares me. It's true. The Fed has been trading the stock market, and until the stock market tells them to, they're going to start QE. My fear is that is going to happen, and then we can start the whole QE thing up again. But what's really happened the last two big corrections. You look at happened in 2000. The market corrected about a third, and the Fed took interest rates from like 6% down to 2%. And then in 2008, the market corrected over a third, and the Fed took interest rates from 5% to 0. What, you know, the next correction, it's got to happen. What's going to save us? The Fed's going to have to do QE, and you see what's happening. The bar keeps declining, yet the stock market is so overdone here. What's going to save the stock market this time? And when you're at zero, there's really not a lot of room. If you want to raise rates, that's great, but they're trying to raise rates to get back to normal, and I just don't see how they can do it with, you know, the things we mentioned earlier, 100% debt to GDP, the economy declining. And by the way, the rest of the world is actually in a big problem. You just look at the latest indications of iron ore. Iron ore just reached a 10-year low, and iron ore is not going down because there's excess demand.
Well, you and I both know it. We've seen this movie before, and unfortunately, this movie does not have a happy ending, but, you know, it can be a long movie. It might be like Gone with the Wind, but it is going to end, and it is going to end poorly, and I hope that we're not saying to you to dump everything and get out. We're saying, hey, you need to be a little bit more careful now. But I've been spending the time, and it goes so fast when you're on, Mike. Mike McClone, ETFSecurities.com. I'm telling you, you got to check out their site. You got to check out their products, the NewsX products plus Glitter. I think they're great. I think they're wonderful. And I think you got a great chance for things for you to put away. Mike McClone, have a happy Easter. Have a great weekend. And thank you so much for being part of the Bubba Show.
Thank you. You too, Todd.
This has been The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I have been with Mike McClone from ETFSecurities.com. Check out the site. Check out their products. You'll be extremely happy and thrilled that you did that. This is The Bubba Show. Everybody have a great time. We'll see you next time here on The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you next time.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears?
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.